We've been talking about the Not for Tourists guide for all of New York, but what about the other boroughs? Well, Brooklyn now has its own book, and for the first time, Queens will have its own guide as well. Brooklyn editor Craig Nelson and Queens editor Jennifer Keeney-Sendro are with me now. I'm pleased to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. So do you live in Brooklyn and Queens?
Yes. Oh. I live in Long Island City.
Uh-huh.
I live in the Williamsburg-Greenpoint area.
So in your case, that I'm sure that was covered from the start. But what other Brooklyn area neighborhoods are you including now?
Well, this is going to be the second edition of the Brooklyn book coming out around May. And essentially, there's only one edition in the neighborhoods, and they're expanding Midwood. But the same neighborhoods that are covered there are going to be in the new one. But we do add a lot of stuff in Bushwick and East Williamsburg and Red Hook, like you were talking about before. Crown Heights is another big one where essentially there were listings last year, but this year they're much more expanded with much more restaurants, bars, just the essentials that you need.
Are there really interesting places near in Midwood other than Brooklyn College?
We're going to find out when, I guess, on U Avenue when the new edition comes out. I mean, that's the beauty of the Brooklyn and Queens book is that people that live in these neighborhoods, they write the little sections on each neighborhood.
Jennifer, many areas of Queens are just becoming familiar to a lot of New Yorkers. What neighborhoods does the first edition focus on?
Well, the only neighborhoods that were covered in the New York City Guide that came out previously were Astoria and Long Island City, which are the two neighborhoods that most people who live in other parts of the city may have visited. Now,
or Jackson Heights, because a lot of people went there because of all the great Indian food and other ethnic foods.
Well, that is now in this guide, Jackson Heights, Sunnyside, Elmhurst, Corona, Forest Hills. It's almost comprehensive.
And there's a major Chinatown in Queens, isn't there?
Yes, in Flushing, very large Chinatown.
So how does that, I'm going to ask about both of the Chinatowns, how do they compare with the one in Manhattan?
Well, if you can believe it, you can eat even cheaper in Flushing Chinatown than you can in Manhattan. And it can be a lot easier to get a table on Sunday morning if you're looking for dim sum. So that's a pretty great attraction.
Craig, in the case of Brooklyn, the Chinatown is in a hard-to-get-to area, isn't it?
In the one in Sunset Park?
Yeah.
It's far out there. I mean, there's a lot of places in Brooklyn you can only get to by bus. And one thing in the Brooklyn NFT, we have an incredible bus map that, you know, for example, a couple weeks ago I was in Flatbush and I said, oh, I want to go to Bensonhurst. I just jumped on the 8 and I was right there. So that's one of the beauties of the book.
Well, that is a problem for both Brooklyn and Queens. Unlike Manhattan, there are neighborhoods that are poorly served. We mentioned Red Hook before. Public transportation doesn't cover every area. So that makes it harder to draw people, doesn't it?
Yes, most of the neighborhoods that are covered in the guide are the neighborhoods that hug the subway lines. So if you get the guide and you want to go exploring, you can hit most of them via subway. But a few of the neighborhoods, College Point, Whitestone, Bayside, you're stuck with the Long Island Railroad or a car.
Well, in your case, you live in Long Island City, you say.
Yes.
Which is a very strange neighborhood because it's a neighborhood that's been in transition for a long time.
Yes, and it's changing very quickly from almost entirely industrial to now a lot of luxury condo buildings are going up. So more and more things are opening every day there.
Are they building new buildings or are they just simply gutting the old industrial buildings and making them into fancy loft buildings?
It's both. It's similar to Williamsburg in that way.
Mm-hmm. And other parts of the city, certain parts of Park Slope and other parts of Brooklyn, which you know, used to be more industrial. I guess what's happening, a major change in all of this, is that the city is losing its industrial base. It's losing its manufacturing.
That's very true, especially in the Williamsburg-Greenpoint area now with the rezoning. I mean, we're going to see major changes because right now Williamsburg, I mean, the only chain store that really exists there, I believe there's a Subway, maybe a Dunkin' Donuts somewhere. There's not even a Starbucks there yet. And when that change comes in, there's going to be a lot of big loft-type development with probably large big-box retail on the bottom, maybe in Red Hook, too, like we've talked about earlier. So my advice is get out to these neighborhoods as soon as possible and enjoy their character now before they change.
Earlier this year, Time Out called Brooklyn the new Manhattan. Does that make Queens the new Brooklyn, Jennifer? Is that what's happening?
Perhaps it is. I think a lot of young people that are moving to the city now who are the audience for these guides are choosing to live in Queens because they're finding that they can still get a little more space for their dollar rent-wise and as we were talking about before, as more galleries and coffee shops and restaurants are opening up, it's more and more like Brooklyn.
I wonder whether there are real estate brokers who are out there saying thank you to the NFT guys because you might spur growth in some of these areas.
Or at least make it easier for the new transplants to find their way around, that's for sure.
Well, the names of these neighborhoods often change. Craig, who came up with a name like Bococa?
That, I'll have to blame that one on Rob and Jane, the publishers.
Because people were very happy saying Borum Hill, Cobble Hill, Carroll Gardens.
And I think for this book, because it is so such a small pocket-sized book, that it was just a way to fit all those neighborhoods on one page, because all the Red Hook and Carroll Gardens, they're all on one very easy-to-use page. So I think it was more for, you know, usability issue.
Because you didn't use East Williamsburg for Bushwick, as some people do these days.
Right, yeah. No, we tried to separate those out.
What are some of the ethnic enclaves in Brooklyn worth exploring?
I really love going to Flatbush and the Caribbean neighborhoods down there. I mean, on Nostrand Avenue, you have a lot of great music shops and a lot of great food places. Run in, grab some jerk chicken, and head to Prospect Park. That's one of my favorite things to do.
You could also get your hair braided on Flatbush Avenue at 3 o'clock in the morning, because whenever I go by that place, it's open.
Well, I do need a haircut, so like you were talking about barbers before, maybe I'll go check that out this weekend.
In the case of Queens, Queens is the most ethnically diverse place in the world right now, isn't it? I read that somewhere. More languages spoken in Queens than any other place in the world?
Yes, definitely. And people are very familiar with the 7 train as the International Express. That's been a common moniker attached to that train.
Both positively and negatively. If you're a
yes.
baseball player named John Rocker, you might see that as a negative thing.
Indeed. So if someone were interested in just getting an overview of the different ethnic communities in Queens, obviously the 7 train would be a great place to start.
And does this mean improved food? Because often in the past, what would happen is there'd be a restaurant opened by immigrants, but since they weren't also serving others from the same place, the food wasn't as good as it could have been or as authentic as it could have been. But in Queens, we have these enclaves of different groups. I'd assume that they raise the quality levels as a result.
Exactly. You can get really authentic ethnic foods all throughout Queens because they are serving a local audience that would know the difference.
Such as?
We were talking about Thai restaurants earlier, and my favorite Thai place in the city, I know it's a favorite of a lot of people, is in Woodside in Queens, Siprafi. It's right near the 61st Woodside stop on the 7, very easy to get to, and it's got a huge menu, anything you can imagine. I've been to Thailand. I've yet to find something that's not on their menu, so it's fantastic.
And then there are cultural festivals in Queens. You know about the Pakistani celebration in the summer?
I do, and also in Jackson Heights, you find the Diwali festival, something that's very popular, the Hindu Festival of Lights. It's they also have a menorah similar to Hanukkah that's lit, and there's a lot of lights and candies, things like that. There's great Halloween festivals in Jackson Heights as well.
Do you think it's drawing people into Queens from the other boroughs? Because, you know, Manhattanites are famously will say, well, it sounds really interesting, but I never leave Manhattan.
When I first moved to the city, I lived in Manhattan, and I was one of those people. But now I find that food and shopping are the ways to draw people out.
Craig, recently Frank Bruni gave a very fine review to one of my favorite Brooklyn restaurants, Aldi La, said it was worth the trip. Mm-hmm. But do you also find that resistance from people outside of Brooklyn? Do you think most of the people who read the Brooklyn Guide are Brooklynites?
I think a lot of them are, a lot of newcomers, because it's real helpful if you're, you know, say you're going to a friend's party down in Red Hook and you need to grab a liquor store and maybe hit the ATM. That's really helpful. But I think a lot of people are really coming in from Manhattan to go to Brooklyn. I mean, it's like you were talking about culture earlier. I mean, there's a lot of cultural festivals in Brooklyn as well. But also, I mean, there's a lot of theater, art galleries, and I mean, film is a big thing in Brooklyn right now. I mean, earlier, just a few weeks ago, you had Robert Redford on, I remember, and he was talking about how BAM is going to be partnering with Sundance. I mean, these are really exciting things going on in Brooklyn.
Of course, there's always the Brooklyn Museum, which is one of the, in any other city, that would be considered a great museum.
Exactly.
In Brooklyn, it's that place in Brooklyn.
Right.
And Jennifer, Queens is home to a number of cultural institutions. And this has been a fairly recent development. PS1, I guess, is about 20 years old now. But then there's a Noguchi Museum. There is Socrates Park.
Yes, the Noguchi Museum and Socrates right across the street from one another and not too far from PS1. Also, the Fisher Landau Center is a really overlooked collection. It's a contemporary art museum as well, not too far away. So if you wanted to spend a day in Queens looking at art, you could easily do so.
Well, Brooklyn and Queens are larger than Manhattan, and I'm assuming that makes them more difficult to cover. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you get paid well because of that?
Oh, yeah, millions of dollars.
Big territory to cover.
Yeah.
Well, one thing about getting around to earlier is that we're going to have a whole biking section in the New Brooklyn edition, because that's a big way that people get around in Brooklyn now. One of the first bike paths in the United States was Ocean Parkway, designed by Olmsted, that goes from Prospect Park to Coney Island. So that's another thing I recommend people do on the weekend.
And Queens has two of New York's greatest nature spots, the Gateway Park's Wildlife Refuge and Rockaway, which is the only place that surfers can surf, at least when the weather is better. Although today feels like good surfing weather.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the Ramones song, Rockaway Beach. I'm not sure that the Rockaways are indeed not hard to reach, but once you get out there, you're rewarded. The beaches are actually clean and very accessible, and you can surf.
But what do you say to people who wonder about the length of the schlep?
I say bring a book. You know, I get the Times every day and the New Yorker every week, and I wouldn't finish them if I didn't take such outings.
In the case of Queens, would you agree that it feels less urban architecturally than most of the rest of New York?
Sure. It's definitely more, most neighborhoods are primarily residential, so you definitely have a different feeling, especially as you get further east. It becomes somewhat indistinguishable from Nassau County, as you see neighborhoods like Malba and Whitestone and Bayside.
Craig, what is the greatest gem you've discovered in covering Brooklyn?
I would say the greatest gem is really down in Red Hook. I know we talked about this a lot, but I love taking the bus down Van Brunt and walking to the end and going to the piers down there. I mean, you just have an incredible view of the Statue of Liberty and downtown New York, and a lot of people don't know that that exists. And there's a fairway going right in next to that, so now's the time to go down on a nice Sunday and just have a nice relaxing day.
There's also a barn there that looks like it was built in the 19th century and hasn't changed much.
I believe that's the Fisherman's Bar, I think, yeah. And there's also the Hook, a music club that's open down there. So, and you're talking about getting around. I mean, one way to spend the time, too, is on the bus is a great way to just look out the window and really just get a sense of a neighborhood. I mean, if you're a little bit apprehensive, oh, you know, I've never been to Bed-Stuy, I've never been down to Flatbush, jump on the bus and take it through, and you really learn a lot very easily.
Brooklyn has some incredible architecture in Bed-Stuy,
mm-hmm,
in Park Slope, and other neighborhoods. Do people actually just come to look at the buildings?
I mean, I've walked around a lot, and I haven't really seen many folks like myself just looking at the buildings. But, you know, once in a while, you do run into some folks, and I think that's becoming more popular.
Do you ever see yourself as rivals? Jennifer, do you ever say, no, the best pizza is in Queens, it's not in Brooklyn?
Sure. I have friends living all over the city, and we argue, and Craig and I were talking before we came on today about...
We said, we hope he doesn't ask that question.
Yeah.
Which is what?
What's the best pizza? What's the better borough?
Oh, I wouldn't ask you that question. There's no such thing, is there?
That's right.
We all want to live in New York.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or New Jersey, for that matter, because we have a lot of listeners from New Jersey. We
exactly.
want to live in the metropolitan area.
Exactly.
In fact, you should do a guide to New Jersey, because I think that the same sort of thing that applies to Brooklyn and Queens would apply to New Jersey. A lot of New Yorkers are scared to venture into New Jersey, even though there are some great restaurants and great parks there as well.
Yeah, that's cool. A great point, yeah. We might have to work on that.
I think Hoboken and Jersey City will be covered in the next New York City Guide.
Do you have a favorite park in Queens?
My favorite park in Queens? I really do like Gantry State Park. I live near there. That's right on the waterfront. I think it has the best view of the Manhattan skyline, and I know Brooklyn Heights might want to argue with that. But it's fantastic. There's a pier for fishing. There's a pier just for lounging. There's a couple other piers where you can sit out and enjoy the day. It's a really beautiful spot.
Have you been to Forest Park?
I have, yes. That's a great, heavily wooded area. You can really feel like you're getting away from the city. They also have a great carousel there for carousel lovers.
It really feels like a different kind of park.
Mm.
It's like little sections of Prospect Park, which I think many people would agree is the best park in New York City.
By far, I would definitely agree to that. And, I mean, it's just amazing to go from Park Slope and then walk down to the south side and, You know, you just see the changes, and the ethnic groups are still all vibrant. And, you know, I mean, you can probably think back to what Central Park used to be like, where, you know, on this side was a different group and over here. And without gentrification stepping in all over Brooklyn, yet you're still able to see the neighborhoods and their ethnic diversity.
But gentrification is an issue in Brooklyn and Queens as well, isn't it? Are there any areas that remain untouched other than perhaps Greenpoint? Or maybe even Greenpoint, because people are moving over from Williamsburg.
Yeah, Greenpoint's been very touched by it. I mean, Eastern Brooklyn, there's a lot of places that, like you say, that are hard to access. But, I mean, it's coming everywhere. And it's just a reality that, you know, hopefully development can be continued where it's on a smaller scale. That's why Brooklyn and Queens are great, I think, different from Manhattan. Instead of giant chain stores and block-by-block development, hopefully you keep the small business thriving.
Although there are areas like the Bush terminals that still may resist any kind of gentrification just because they are so unhospitable to residential sensibilities. But I'm assuming that they are going through rough times as well because manufacturing is down.
Yeah, I mean, manufacturing's down in Brooklyn and a lot of places, and they're trying to preserve it, but I think residential will win out in the end of the day.
Are there really great restaurants other than that Thai restaurant that you like and some of the Chinese restaurants in Queens?
Sure. I mean, we were talking about along the 7 train, you can go from the Chinatown in Flushing where you can find all types of Asian food. Jackson Heights is famous for Indian food, but right next door in Elmhurst, you can also find really great Indonesian food, Malaysian food, all kinds of Latin American, Central American food. Woodside has Irish food. You know, that's obviously an acquired taste, but it's all really authentic, and the bill will be half what you'd pay in Manhattan.
Are you predicting another hot area?
Well, one neighborhood that's not going to be in this guide, but I'm sure will probably make it in by the next edition, is Woodside, which is right between Sunnyside and Jackson Heights. Also, neighborhoods like Rego Park, Kew Gardens, those are on either side of Forest Hills. Those are areas that also have really vibrant ethnic communities, sort of unique to the city.
We've got to mention the Brazilian places in Astoria.
Yes, yes, we actually haven't talked about Astoria at all. Astoria is a great neighborhood in transition.
It used to be just Greek.
Yeah, it was primarily Greek, and now there's a Brazilian enclave. There's a great Middle Eastern enclave where you can get incredible North African and Middle Eastern food. Pastries, olive bars, all kinds of things. And there's a lot of, you know, people coming after college and opening up quaint coffee shops and trendy bars.
Well, I know I've had the experience of coming out of a subway train in a neighborhood I don't know and wishing I'd had something like these guides, because you just wind up asking people, where's Argyle Road or something? And they tell you got to go 3 blocks this way, 5 blocks that way. A map really might be helpful also. Knowing where some place I might stop and get a bite would be helpful as well. Do you have any hot spots in Brooklyn, Greg?
Well, I do. I was just going to mention the maps, because that's a really important factor in the guide, is that these are some of the best designed maps you'll find. And one of the nice things about it is you can grab it. And when you come out of the subway station, you can see where clusters of things are. Mm-hmm. So if you're not used to going to a different neighborhood, you can at least walk towards the clusters and kind of discover your own spots. But, I mean, that's one of the best. Just throw it in your pocket and take out the map, and easy to use.
Do you agree with your bosses in the previous segment that Red Hook is still resisting the change despite the fact that it's been predicted for so long?
I think to some degree it is.
And why do you think there was such a fight against an IKEA? Because that probably would have brought a lot of people to the area. Is that a negative thing in the minds of the people who live there?
I think the jobs and the people coming to Red Hook aren't so bad. It's just when you're down there and then you just try to imagine thousands of more cars barreling through the neighborhood every day. I think that's a huge concern to people. I mean, a lot of people move there because, A, it was industrial, and, B, it's a little bit quieter, and that's going to change very fast.
What's happened to the Brooklyn Navy Yard?
That is a good question.
It's still a place in transition.
Yeah.
There's some residential spaces being developed in there as well.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us. And I know I will be dipping into the guides, the Not for Tourist guides, now also covering Brooklyn and Queens. And my great thanks to my two guests who have put together the Brooklyn and Queens versions. We've been talking with Craig Nelson, the Brooklyn editor, and Jennifer Keeney-Sendra, the Queens editor. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.